I can probably do this better. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. For those of you following this channel, you probably know that I have returned from the spring travels. I took a road trip which included nearly 3,000 miles of driving, and I explored various locations in Utah and New Mexico. This was a solo trip. My wife was not able to go along. But instead of canceling the trip, I decided to go solo. All in all, it worked out very well. Today, I'd like to do a look back on that experience. Now, when you look back at something in the past, you may do so for pleasant memories. Or you might do it for analysis. Analysis is my purpose. Now in English, if you look back at something for analysis, you might use the metaphor post-mortem. So post-mortem is a medical term that has come into day-to-day use. It means examination of the remains of a deceased to determine important clues about the circumstances of their death and to acquire evidence regarding that. Another word for a post-mortem exam is an autopsy. This is not the meaning of my use of this term. If you have a project or an event and you look back at it, you can describe your discussions or your thoughts about it as a post-mortem. This is not a macabre reference. This terminology is commonly used. As I look back at the trip, I came up with five things that turned out to be better than expected, five things that were worse than expected, and five things or more that I learned from this experience. So let's get started. I'm going to start with the list of things that were worse than expected. Number one, camping in Chaco Canyon was exquisitely cold. Now, sleeping was not a problem because the sleeping bag that I have is very good, down to 15 degrees Fahrenheit, well below freezing. The temperature on my camping night in Chaco got down right to the freezing point. I was very comfortable throughout the night and was well equipped for sleeping under those conditions. The problem came when I emerged from the sleeping bag because I was immediately thrust into freezing weather. There was a light breeze, which created a wind chill factor, which further created problems. I did not bring gloves, so my biggest problem was cold fingers, cold, painful, numb fingers. I didn't have a cap, like a watch cap. I only had my hat that was appropriate for prevention of sun exposure. In camp, under cold conditions, I would have been better served had I brought some gloves and a watch cap to keep my head warm. Because I was very cold, I did not cook in camp. I had a camp stove. I had utensils, and I had food to cook. I could have made coffee. I could have cooked breakfast. But these things did not occur because I was super uncomfortable once I got out of the sleeping bag. Of course, all of these problems are easily addressed. As I go through these, you will see a pattern. Better planning is the way you solve these problems. Number two, setting up the tent in the campground at Chaco was made much more difficult by the wind. When I designed how I was going to camp in Chaco Canyon, my mental image of that experience was flawed because I didn't factor in wind. Now, this was easily overcome, but I could have anticipated it, and it could have gone more smoothly. One of the surprises about the wind when I was camping in Chaco is that it propelled dust into the tent, and everything became coated in a thin versus thick layer of red dust. I recorded video footage of setting up the tent and organizing my campsite. Unfortunately, the strong wind played havoc with the microphone, and the audio proved to be unusable. I had a choice when I was editing the video. I could have done a voiceover and replaced that audio track. Instead, I just deleted the video segment on setting up the tent. Number four, sky conditions completely prevented astrophotography. My expectation, knowing that I was going to the desert, was that I would have clear skies and be able to do a lot of astrophotography. I was ready to set up the camera on a tripod and make a lot of exposures of the Milky Way. Unfortunately, extensive cloud cover made that impossible. The sky conditions did surprise me toward the end of my trip, as I expected to be able to make videos in the square at Santa Fe, and I expected to make videos at the Cosmic Campground. I watched the weather forecast closely and found that my expectations would not be realized. Conditions in Santa Fe were dark, overcast. Conditions at the Cosmic Campground were projected to be the same. Rain was actually forecast for the Cosmic Campground. So as I look at those five things that went worse than expected, they fall into two categories. One group of problems I could solve by better planning, perhaps better equipment or better skills. And then the other category would be things that I simply needed to accept. I was well prepared for this latter approach. So what about the things that went much better than expected? Number one, sleeping in Chaco Canyon was heavenly. I was super comfortable. I had no comfort issues whatsoever, and the equipment performed as specified. There were no glitches on sleeping in Chaco Canyon. The other campers were very quiet, very well behaved, and there were just no problems on the topic of sleeping. Number two, when I packed for this trip, I brought a lot of food that would require little or no preparation. I had a small cooler for perishables, and then I had two food baskets for things that didn't need refrigeration. I had bananas, avocados, whole wheat tortillas, whole wheat crackers, which were minimally processed. I brought cans of sardines, and I had lots of water. I was prepared to cook either in the hotel rooms or at the campground, but it turns out I didn't tend to do that. The places I went, I either took advantage of locally available food, or I ate food that required little or no preparation. Number three, I already mentioned, I had plenty of water. I did not drink any sodas for the entire trip. Beverages for this trip fell into two categories, black coffee and water. Some of that water was carbonated and some was still. On every hike, I took plenty of water. Number four, Magnolia's Kitchen. One of the great surprises while I was in Escalante was this restaurant. Magnolia's Kitchen is an amazing restaurant in Escalante. It was created by Haley and Garen Apperson. This young family created Magnolia's Kitchen, and they also run Bluebird's Inn. While I was traveling, I wanted to maintain my whole food, plant-based eating program. I did not want to take this trip and wind up eating a lot of animal product, a lot of meat, and a lot of cheese. I would have considered that quite the defeat. This is actually why I brought the food I brought. I always wanted to have an alternative to eating meat and cheese. I also wanted to avoid ultra-processed food. So when I looked for a good place for breakfast in Escalante, I was thrilled to find Magnolia's Kitchen. When you arrive at Magnolia's Kitchen, you place your order in this rustic building. After you've placed your order, you adjourn to an area outside the building where there's a lot of room to sit. This old bus is the kitchen. This is where the magic happens. Magnolia's Kitchen posts their menu online. I chose their vegan burrito for my breakfast. This turned out to be a delicious mixture of vegetables with incredible flavor. It was very rich, very filling, very satisfying, and completely devoid of animal product. This became my go-to breakfast while in Escalante. I also used that experience of consuming those burritos to mentally deconstruct my version of the recipe, and I have made burritos in my own kitchen which were inspired by what I had at Magnolia's Kitchen. And number five, flying the drone at the Goblin Valley State Park outside of Hanksville was very pleasant. What I have observed in recent years is that most parks, state and federal, ban drones. In aggregate, they just don't want to deal with them. Drones are treated as a nuisance and they are banned. This park was very unusual. They embraced drones. They didn't shun them. What did they do? They charged $15, so they created a revenue stream for the park. They made a bunch of rules so that they can enforce those rules if things were to get out of hand. And they set a limit that on any given day they would only sell 10 permits, so they would not have swarms of drones over their park. They also restricted the portion of the park where drones could fly. They provided an excellent takeoff and landing zone platform, very conducive for use by drone pilots. When I was there, there were only two of us flying drones. We each were well equipped, we were very professional, and we were very concerned about not being a nuisance to other visitors. My drone is very quiet. So once it is for instance, 30 feet above a person, they basically don't know it's there. I was very stealthy in my flying of the drone. And if you saw my video about the Goblin Valley, you saw the drone footage. I would like to see other parks adopt this more inclusive, helpful approach to the drone pilot. The pilots have a responsibility to behave professionally and not interfere with other visitors. But this is easily done, but I don't think that banning all drones from all parks is a reasonable approach that should be used going forward. So having looked at the things that went worse than expected and the things that went better than expected, the question is, what did I learn from this trip? For the sake of this discussion, I will distill this question down to 5 answers, 5 things I learned. However, another way of looking at it, not from the point of view of video production and YouTube, but just the experience itself, I could say that the things I learned from this trip were TNTC. What's that? TNTC is an expression that we used in the laboratory when we were looking at something under the microscope, and what we were looking at was too numerous to count. This is not a mainstream American expression, but it is something that very specifically expresses a concept and that I use talking to myself. The trouble with saying TNTC to someone in the community is that 99.9% of the time, they wouldn't know what I'm talking about. So here are the 5 things I definitely learned from this trip, looking back. Number 1, I can plan ahead much better. Going forward, I need to be a little bit more aware of some of the details. I could have discerned online that the Bureau of Land Management office in Escalante was going to be closed the 2 days I was planning on being in Escalante. I might have adjusted my travel schedule because I would have preferred to have visited that office. If you watched my video on the long hike into the waterfall in Escalante, you will recall that I assumed when I was told that it was a 3-mile hike that the 3 miles was round trip. Not so. The 3 miles was each way, and so I was 100% wrong about the size of that hike. No damage was done. I was certainly up to a 6-mile hike, and I brought water, but I could have looked a little more closely at that hike and better anticipated how long it was going to take and how far it was going to be. Number 2, I am not very well equipped for camping under primitive conditions. A combination of a little better equipment and a little more skill would allow me to better enjoy primitive camping. Also, when one camps under primitive conditions, there are things you just have to accept. You just have to tolerate some of the inconveniences and discomforts that come with this territory. Number 3, I learned to make roasted vegetable burritos. Thanks to the folks at Magnolia's Kitchen, I now have a whole new approach to fixing some meals. These roasted vegetable burritos are delicious and very healthy. Number 4, I have returned to the use of intermittent fasting. While I was on the trip, my schedule was very conducive to having my last meal of the day, the last food of the day, at 6 o'clock in the evening. And then I simply did not eat any food until 10 o'clock the following morning. This is a common pattern for intermittent fasting described as the 16-8 pattern. That is, 16 hours of the day, one takes no food, but does drink a lot of water. During an 8-hour period in the day, one eats food. This pattern of intermittent fasting has been recommended to promote health. I have done this in the past, but I have to admit that I got out of the habit. This trip put me back on track with intermittent fasting. And number 5, this is on the topic of journaling. I have other videos that talk about journaling or writing my morning pages. And this has become a very useful tool for me. It allows me to organize my thoughts and flesh out ideas that I hadn't much thought about. On this trip, I added 2 categories to my journal entries. They don't always appear in every entry, but I think about them as I'm writing my journal entry. Number 1, what did I learn from this experience? Number 2, what do I still not understand related to this experience? What will deserve more thought, more contemplation, more investigation? I am not at the stage of planning the next trip. Some ideas have popped into my head, but there is no planning process underway. Instead, I will enjoy the spring. I have a lot of chores around the house that need to be done. The grass is growing and it needs to be mowed down, not because of the need for a neat lawn, because in this part of the mountains, we don't really have lawns, but I need to get the grass down because of the issue of fire risk mitigation. It's very important that the dry grass not be tall, because fire rips through tall, dry grass explosively, and we don't want that. So within the next 2 weeks, I will mow all the grass around this house for fire mitigation. I also want to continue making videos for the channel. This channel has only existed for 9 months, and I find it very encouraging how well it has been received by the viewership. I greatly appreciate the support that people have given me, and I really enjoy reading the thoughtful comments in the comments section. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.